We present Norton Wayne as George, Fenella Fielding as Françoise, and Jimmy Thompson in the name part of Auguste, the comedy by Raymond Castin. English version by Joan Sutro, adapted for sound radio by Cynthia Pugh. Auguste.
How many starlets for the Daughters of Paris cocktail party?
Make it a dozen, Jean. And impress on those young women to be on time. The photographers will be leaving at 6:30. What's the time now?
11:45.
A 11:45? What is Françoise doing? Oh, I'll phone her. Matin. 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 Four. 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 Four.
Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four.
Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. Four. For Mr. Carson, European Director of USA Films, Operation Marilyn Wood, Floridicana Romance.
Floridicana Romance.
Dear sir, this time it's ringing. Hello? Is that you, darling? What? You're not my darling? Oh, sorry, sir. Wrong number.
You seem to be very worked up over this operation, Françoise Martin, Gary Johnson.
But it's such a marvelous idea. I take an absolutely unknown young woman, and in one morning, I make her a celebrity. Of course, I'm excited. The operation has come off. It's a perfect demonstration of the efficiency of my system. But if it's flopped, of course, well, then I don't know.
Why should it have flopped? The schedule couldn't have been simpler. Françoise Martin throws herself into the river from the Pont Almar at 11 a.m., the famous Gary Johnson providentially happening to pass saves her at 11:03. What could go wrong with that?
No, it couldn't go wrong, could it? No, I'll relax. Now, let's get back to Marilyn. Where were we?
Dear sir.
Lord, it's 12 minutes to... We ought to have heard something from Francois.
Well, remember, she must have been drenched to the skin. Probably she had to go home and change.
Yes, what is it?
I'm awfully sorry if I'm disturbing you, sir. I would like to speak to Miss Françoise Martin.
Well, I'm afraid she's not here.
Oh, what a pity. Excuse me, sir.
This suspense is frightful, you know.
8:58. Of course, I don't want to hurt your feelings, Georges, but the idea of drowning off the Pont Almar isn't absolutely new.
I know perfectly well. But I've improved upon it. I didn't just leave it at Françoise throwing herself in the water. I get Gary Johnson to rescue her. And the whole thing at the very moment the President of the Republic is opening the nautical exhibition not 10 yards away. So I'm quite sure of having on the spot 20 journalists, 15 photographers, radio, TV, and newsreels. In fact, all the machinery for transforming my unknown starlet into a name. You again? What is it?
I do apologize for disturbing you, sir, but will she be coming?
Who?
Miss Martin, sir.
Well, we expect her at any minute.
Oh, good. Forgive me, sir.
What the hell is Gary Johnson up to? He might at least have had the decency to phone and reassure me. Tell me that he got her out.
Don't get worked up, George. Let's get on with the report for Carson.
Yes, you're quite right. First day. Marilyn and Floridicana dance all night at the White Elephant. Oh, no.
I do apologize for disturbing you, sir, but are you sure she's coming?
Who?
Miss Martin, sir.
Oh, look here, who are you?
My name is Auguste Roussel. I'm a banker. At BLDI, Branch H, Avenue Rapp.
Well, I'm sorry, my account is at another bank. Goodbye.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Ah, got it. It's not engaged. It's ringing.
It's ringing, but she doesn't answer.
George, you shouldn't get worked up into such a state. I'm sure everything went all right. There were no risks at all.
No risks? What if Francois arrived late? What if the Princess of Liechtenstein had her baby this morning? Turenne's looking after that.
The gynecology?
No. Turenne, their public relations officer. The one who does Bardot and the Archbishop of Sark. If the baby is inconsiderate enough to be born this morning, we shan't get a single word in the papers. Even if the drowning went off perfectly. It's 12:00. I'm going mad. Yes, Mr.
I'm really very sorry about disturbing you, sir. But could I leave a message for Miss Françoise Martin?
Look here, once and for all, what is it you want with Françoise Martin?
I have a small favor to ask of her. I wanted to ask Miss Martin to write a note for me.
What sort of note?
To say what had happened.
Well, what did happen?
Well, it's a long story.
Oh, bless you.
Thank you, sir. I must have caught cold. Had Miss Martin had a disappointment, do you know? Or some great sorrow?
What makes you ask that?
Well, because she tried to commit suicide not more than an hour ago.
Oh, so you were there. Oh,
yes, don't worry, sir. She was rescued.
Oh, thank you, my friend. Not that there was any doubt that she wouldn't be. I can even tell you by whom.
Oh, really? You already know?
By Gary Johnson.
What?
Gary Johnson.
So that's who it was. Now I recognize him.
Of course you recognize him. The top young star of the cinema. The darling of Hollywood. The courageous rescuer. The one who dived in. That was Gary Johnson.
Oh, no.
What do you mean, oh, no? I know what I'm talking about better than you do.
No, the chap who dived in, that was me.
Oh, bless you.
There's the proof, sir. I've caught cold.
You saved Françoise?
Yes. Oh, I suppose you could say it was just luck.
You call that luck?
Well, I'll explain.
For heaven's sake, do explain. And quickly.
I'd better go and type that letter.
Now, Mr.
Roussel, August. Yes. Well, as I explained to you earlier, I'm a bank clerk with the BLDI, Branch 8, Avenue Rapp.
Yes, I know. Go on, go
on. This morning, about 10:45, my chief asked me to go round to a client in the Place Jean Goujon to clear up a mistake. As it's not far from Avenue Rapp, I said to myself, I'll walk round there. A bit of exercise will do me good.
Yeah, well, get on, for heaven's sake.
I could have gone by bus or metro. Ecole Militaire is only a stone's throw from us, on the corner of Rue Amalie. But as there was no hurry, after all, I said to myself...
Oh, but I'm in a hurry, for the love of Mike. Don't go into everything you said to yourself.
Oh, yes, I understand. All right, I didn't say anything to myself. I got to Branly Square.
Well, cross it, quickly.
That's the point. It wasn't easy. There was a traffic jam. Special police stopping cars. And I said to myself, it's lucky I didn't take a taxi. The meter would have been ticking up and my chief would...
Damn your chief.
Oh, yeah, all right, sir. Anyway, I got to the Pont d'Arme.
At last.
There was a real mob. Press cars, journalists, photographers, radio commentators, the TV van, the lot. I said to myself, oh, what on earth is happening? There must have been an accident.
No. It was the President of the Republic on his way to open the nautical exhibition on the banks of the Seine there.
You're quite right. They were all waiting for the President. I thought I might as well stay and watch him go past. I've always liked him.
Yes, so have I, but for heaven's sake, get to the point.
Well, I started to cross the Pont d'Arme.
At last.
Don't worry, sir. I've already told you she was rescued. Now, where was I?
I couldn't care less.
Oh, yes. I was looking at the man standing next to me, and I said to myself, now, I've seen that face before somewhere, but I simply couldn't think of his name. I said to myself, he's not a client at the bank. He's not anyone from Soucy-en-Brie. I live at Soucy-en-Brie, you know. I just couldn't place him, and yet his face rang a bell.
Oh.
Then just now it was you who put a name to it. It was Gary Johnson. Of course I recognize him now.
Oh, get to the point before I strangle you.
Steady. It was just at that moment, as I was looking at Gary Johnson without recognizing him, that a young woman climbed over the parapet and threw herself into the
sea. Oh, dear.
Well, there you are, sir. I didn't give another thought to the President of the Republic or to Gary Johnson. She hadn't touched the water before I was there, too.
Only you?
I swam towards her. I got her by the chin, like they did it in a documentary film. The cinema is some use, you know, in spite of what people say. When someone is drowning, you should hold them like that.
Oh, not a demonstration, if you please.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. The poor girl was floundering.
Not you,
she kept on saying to me.
Not you.
She seemed furious. She was quite determined to die.
Not you.
It will always stick in my mind.
Oh.
And she seemed to be looking in a desperate sort of way for someone else. In the end, I got her to the bank.
That will do. Thanks very much.
Don't you want to know what happened then?
No, I don't. Tell me, Mr. What is your name again?
Roussel, August Roussel.
Well, Mr. Roussel, do you always meddle in matters which don't concern you?
Of course not. I have one motto. Live and let live.
Well, then, just tell me why you stopped Miss Françoise Martin from drowning herself this morning.
George, darling. George.
I
my dear, I know. I heard.
It wasn't my fault. I did exactly what you told me. And it went wrong.
How are you?
You here?
Yes.
What on earth possessed you to rescue me? Are you a Boy Scout?
No, I...
You belong to a life-saving society?
No, I will.
Then why did you interfere?
But you were going to drown yourself.
Of course she wasn't. The girl can swim like a fish.
Swim like a fish.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't think she could swim like a fish.
You didn't wonder even for one moment why none of the other passers-by jumped in?
Well, perhaps because they couldn't swim.
There. You just wanted to show off.
I did not, I assure you.
And it never occurred to you that you might be meddling in something that didn't concern you.
No, I can't say that it did.
Do you realize, sir, what an injury you've done this young lady?
I don't understand.
Perhaps you imagine you're the only man capable of saving me.
Oh, I wouldn't presume that. All the same, I was the only one to dive in. You said so.
No, sir, not the only one, just the first.
Well, it amounts to the same thing.
It certainly does not.
Well, I dived in.
Yes, you dived in. You dived in, all right. That's all you can jolly well say, I dived in.
And that is just what we're complaining about.
But why?
Because if you'd waited just 1 minute, somebody important would have dived in.
How do you know?
How do I know? How do I know? It is all arranged.
Arranged? You arranged it?
I did, Mr. Roussel.
I'm sorry, I still don't understand. You arranged what?
I had appointed a rescuer who was to dive in and save Miss Martin.
So you knew she was going to throw herself in?
Of course I knew.
Did you know?
Naturally.
And did you know the exact minute she would throw herself in?
Obviously.
Well, I can't make head or tail of it.
Mr. Roussel, the drowning of Miss Francoise was entirely devised by my organization. And I may add that I do not arrange a drowning without arranging the rescue as well.
Do you realize who would have saved me if you hadn't barged in so stupidly?
No.
Gary Johnson.
The famous Hollywood film star.
Gary Johnson. He was there purposely.
Of course.
At your invitation.
Naturally.
There are at least 200 journalists there. Not to mention photographers and film people. With Gary Johnson, they'd have really gone to town on it. Gary Johnson diving in. Gary Johnson emerging from the water.
Gary Johnson pulling me out. Picture. Giving me artificial respiration. Picture. My first wan smile. The rescuer's kiss. The president's congratulations.
Picture.
But they took them of me, too. Lots of pictures of me. They even wanted me to jump in all over again. For
bless you.
Just think, rescued by Gary Johnson, the great Hollywood star. That would have been good for 200 front-page pictures throughout the world. Miss Martin would have been a celebrity. She would have been on the front cover of Mode.
Oh, it's awful. It's all his fault. I missed the cover of Mode.
Is it really so important to have one's photograph on the cover of Mode?
It would have shot Miss Martin right into the top rank of international celebrities. That's what you made her miss, Mr. Roussel.
Just so you could show how well you could swim.
Anyone would think that you were out for publicity. Yes, John?
Excuse me, George, but I've got Mr. Carson on the line about the Marilyn Wood Shorty Carner business.
Oh, yes, yes, that's very important. Yes, I'll take it in your office. Well, Mr. Roussel, you certainly are responsible for a great deal.
Bless you.
I can tell you frankly, I wouldn't like to be in your shoes.
Do you hate me very much?
Yes, I do, rather.
I ought to have been more careful. It's not the first time I've put my foot in it like that.
Really?
I once found a wallet belonging to a client, and I handed it over to his wife. Unfortunately, there was a letter in it from another woman. We lost the client.
Well, I hope this morning, Jeff, it will cure you. Bless you.
Thank you. I was so pleased that I'd rescued you. If I'd only known, I wouldn't have come to see you. I'd have kept my illusion.
Oh, incidentally, why did you come here?
Well, I wanted to ask you to write a little note for me explaining to my chief why I'm late. You know, I work at branch H of the BLDI in Avenue Rock.
I know. You repeated it often enough to the reporters. Well, I'll write the note for you straight away. I'll write it on George's newspaper. What's your name?
Auguste Roussel.
Auguste Roussel.
Thank you so much, Miss Martin. It's awfully kind of you. It isn't that my chief's a bad sort, but he's a stickler for punctuality. I said I would be back before midday, but what with this tip in the...
Oh, bless you.
Oh, dear. Oh, now I've got the shivers. Never mind, I'll get another grog on the way.
Yes. Will this do?
Thank you.
I, the undersigned, Miss Françoise Martin, as Auguste Roussel courageously threw himself into the water to rescue me. You really are awfully kind.
Well, after all, it doesn't cost anything.
Courageously. Particularly as you don't think so. It makes it all the kinder. Oh, you spelt courageously with two R's.
You shouldn't, Debbie.
Well, personally, I only put one, but it doesn't matter. Live and let live. Very many thanks.
Your chief can't bite your head off when you read that.
They'll put my name up on the board of honor at the branch, under probity and public spirit. They put me up before when I found the wallet, but they took it down again when we lost the client. Now I shall be up again for a fake rescue. But I just wanted to tell you, when I rescued you, it wasn't just to show that I could swim.
No? Well, what was the reason?
Because I saw you just as you were going to jump, and I thought you were much too pretty to die.
That's sweet of you, Mr. Roussel. You know, you don't look it, but you certainly know how to talk to women.
That's the first time anyone's ever said so. What I can't really understand, though, is why you so desperately want to be famous.
To get a part in a film.
I thought you played in films first and hoped to become famous through that.
Oh, it used to be like that, but it's all changed. Oh. I mean, if no one's ever heard of you, who's going to give you a part?
Do you know, I never thought of that. Miss Martin, I ask your forgiveness for having saved your life. I shall do everything in my power to earn a pardon.
I'm not asking you to do anything at all.
That's a pity.
You're trembling.
From cold, like Bailey.
Who's Bailey?
A scholar. He was mayor of Paris during the revolution, and they executed him. At the guillotine, the executioner said to him, "You are trembling, Bailey." He answered, "From cold." It was a good answer.
Oh, that's very good.
What? You still here? Funny.
Yes, I was waiting to say goodbye to you, sir. Well, goodbye, Mr. Flower. Goodbye, Miss Martin. And please do.
Please forgive me.
What a fool.
Oh, I think he's rather nice.
That's about the worst thing a fool can be. Nice.
Here are the evening papers.
Well, let's see. Good Lord. A four-column spread on Roussel. Today's hero. Smiling rescue on Pont d'Almar.
And look at Paddy Brad. The whole film strip of the rescue. Six pictures. President of the Republic congratulates bank clerk hero of suicide drama. Three columns. It's crazy.
And there's not a single photograph of me.
Good morning, George.
Good morning, John. Has Marilyn phoned?
No, but Carson wants you to ring him.
Oh, he does he?
Yes, he wants to know what you're doing for Marilyn Wood, Florida Connor, today.
Well, then I'll tell him. Get him for me, will you?
Yes, of course. Oh, and that idiot telephone, too.
Which idiot?
Roussel. You know, August.
Oh, what did he say?
He said he was coming round to see you.
Oh, good, good. That's a bit of luck.
Hello. Mr. Carson, Mr. Flower for you. He's on the line now.
Oh, thanks. Hello? Mr. Carson. Yes, you wanted to know about my plans for Marilyn Wood, Florida Connor. Yes. Well, now, I'm starting a war of nerves. A nerve. Well, everyone thinks that they're madly in love and will get married. Yes. But tonight I strike fear into the hearts of the public. Marilyn will go to the fabulous opera ball escorted by the man of the hour, Auguste Roussel.
Good heavens.
Yes, it'll be his first appearance. Don't you think that's a honey? Yes, I will show you'd like it. Well, bye. Now do you see why you were wrong to treat him like an idiot?
But has Roussel agreed to do it?
I'll see to that.
It's quite a brainwave pairing off Marilyn and Roussel. But don't you think there's a risk that people will fail to notice him this evening?
Yes, but I've thought of all that. Just to be on the safe side, I'll send Florida Connor along at 2 a.m. to make a jealousy scene.
I do apologize for disturbing you.
Oh, not at all, my dear Roussel. Delighted to see you.
And how are you today?
Good morning. Rather better, thank you. You're the first people I've come to see since I got up.
Oh, how very kind of you.
And he's brought me some flowers.
Well,
thank you. Yes. You shouldn't be any bothered, but I'm so touched. I'll go and put them on my desk.
I know. Yes, that's right, well, that's right. We'll have a little chat.
But you can not sure.
Well, now, my dear friend, are you feeling a new man? I can tell you, you had us worried, you know.
I certainly had a rough time. Acute congestion of the lungs. By the time I got to the bank, my teeth were chattering. I must have caught it through standing around in my wet things with the president. Anyway, by the evening, I was a hospital case. My temperature was 104.
104.3.
They told you?
I read it in the next day's papers.
Oh, yes, of course. My brother-in-law was telling me about them. He's got quite a collection of cuttings.
Yes, the whole country was interested in it. Throughout those 5 days of your fight against death, we followed every round, the rallies, the setbacks, newspapers, radio, TV, they all ran your story.
Are you pulling my leg?
No, not at all. Of course, one must admit that there was nothing else for the press to get their teeth into. Believe me, you were a godsend to them.
Well, I'd never have believed it. And how is Miss Françoise Martin?
Well, unfortunately, she didn't get congestion of the lungs.
How can you say such a thing?
Well, it would have been worth thousands if she had. She would have got all the publicity.
Oh, I'm sorry. I phoned her this morning as soon as I got back from the hospital.
You certainly don't waste much time.
Well, I start work again on Monday at the bank. I've been away 3 weeks already. One ought not to abuse their patience, particularly as they have promoted me a grade. I'm being transferred to the Stock Exchange Department, a very responsible post.
Good morning, George.
Oh.
Well, good morning, Miss Rochelle. How sweet of you to call.
Of course I came when you asked me too, Miss Martin.
Cunning devil. I didn't know you had a date with Francois.
I asked him to come round because I ran into Leonie, the editor of the Christian Clarion.
Oh, yes, I've just...
Oh, Miss Rochelle, don't go. This is all to do with you.
I'll be back.
Leonie wants to make a story of my suicide. According to him, it's worth at least 4 pages.
4 pages? Oh, that's really something. The Christian Clarion circulation tops 150,000.
Well, his idea is to use my story to point a moral about the modern girl who imagines that getting into films is the foundation of true happiness and then suffers a bit of disillusionment.
I don't think much of it, but 4 pages are not to be sneezed at.
Miss Martin... these flowers are a small thank you for coming to see me while I was ill.
Oh,
be careful, they're rather wet.
Oh, yes.
Miss Janet already put them in water.
Oh, poor old Jan.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, thank you, Miss Rochelle. I'm terribly touched. Oh, yes, I put them in my room, but in the meantime...
Oh, here.
All over my stockings.
Give them to me. I'll put them back in the vase on Miss Jan's desk until you go. Don't forget them, will you? Do you mind, Miss Jan? Looking after them, I mean.
Of course not.
Thank you very much. She doesn't mind, she says.
Good. Well, now, let's get back to Leonie.
Well, what he thought particularly right for his readers, he told me to himself, was the fact that I was saved by an ordinary, clean-living, upright young man.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of those who shun the limelight, but who nevertheless know wherein lies the secret of true riches, all right. That's how he put it.
You see, Mr. Roussel, that means that you've hit the jackpot again. People are still going on talking about you.
About me?
Yes, you. What?
Why, do you mind? Well, to be quite frank, I do. You know, honestly, Mr. Flower, I'd much rather no one mentioned me again.
Oh, but the whole story loses a lot of its moral value without you. The Christian Clarion might not even publish it.
Mr. Roussel, you couldn't do this to me. Make me miss another chance.
Well, of course, I don't want to spoil things for you, but... Well, what would I have to do?
Oh, just tell the story of your life.
To whom?
A journalist.
That's all.
Oh, I should never be able to do that.
Well, then, I'll deal with this reporter on your behalf.
All you've got to do is tell your life story to Mr. Flower, and he'll repeat what you've told him.
Well, I should prefer that, if it's got to be done at all.
Fire away, then. I'm listening.
Oh, well, I'll start at the beginning. I was born at...
Now, Mr. Roussel, there's one essential point we must bear in mind throughout. It's not the reporter, and it's not Leonie to whom we are going to relate your life story. It's to their readers, to their public. Now, this public, that is, Leonie's public, has certain ideals, certain opinions, and certain tastes. Any article which Leonie puts before it must satisfy those ideals and those opinions and those tastes.
But supposing the story of my life doesn't fit in with these ideals and so on?
Well, then it would be a dud article and Leonie wouldn't print it.
Oh, for goodness sake, he's promised me 4 pages. He simply must give them to me.
Now, don't worry, Françoise, don't worry. We're going to work on it. All we have to do, my dear Mr. Roussel, is to tell the reporter the story of your life, bearing in mind his reader's ideals and tastes.
Yes.
Now, you were saying...
Oh, well, I hadn't started. I was telling you that I was born...
Now, for Leonie's public, it would be a splendid idea if your whole life had been dogged by misfortune.
Why?
For instance, as an introduction,
we'll explain to them that you only have a junior position in the BLDI and that you really deserve something very much better.
But we can't tell them that.
Why not?
Because I have a very good position at the BLDI. I'm at H branch, haven't you, Rupp? I get double pay, a bonus, traveling expenses, and a pension. They'd think I was complaining. The manager would be livid.
You'd be doing me such a good turn.
It's Miss Martin who is asking it of you. And you certainly owe it to her.
You told me you'd do anything to further my career.
You don't realize the seriousness of the words you want to put into my mouth. Just when I've been transferred to the stock exchange department, too.
On the contrary, I do realize it. I know I'm asking you to make a great sacrifice, but that's because I look on you as a close friend.
Oh, well, it's kind of you to say so, Miss Martin. You consider it absolutely essential that I should say I have a junior position.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll say that, then.
Oh, thank you so much, Mr. Roussel. I knew you had a kind heart.
Well, now, let's go on. Now, you were saying?
I was born...
Hold on. I've got an idea. You had a very serious illness as a child. You were expected to die.
Me? Ill? I've never been ill in my life.
Oh, you're just being obstinate.
No, but it's true. Until my congestion, I've never been ill. The only thing I ever had was a very mild chicken pox.
Chicken pox? So you have had an illness?
Well, I was telling you, it was absolutely nothing. The mildest form of chicken pox. Hardly even a spot.
Well, we're not obliged to tell a journalist that it is the mildest form of chicken pox. There are some bad cases of chicken pox. Chicken pox with complications. And then, of course, there's always the possibility that it wasn't chicken pox. Oh, yes, you dimly remember the doctors robed in white, gathering round your hospital bed, huh? Anxious, silent, in despair over your high fever. Oh, what drama.
But why are you so keen on having me be ill?
Personally, I couldn't care less. But Leone will be delighted.
That man must have a grudge against me.
Not a bit. But it's good for his public.
Would it make you happy, Miss Martin?
Very.
All right. We'll say so.
Yes, of course. You were so ill that you couldn't go back to school. Now, that leads on to a description of a very touching scene. The teacher's farewell to his prize pupil, halted on the threshold of a dazzling career. Oh, that's splendid, you know. It's so human.
But it's not true. I was bottom of the class at our village school.
No, please don't quibble over the details.
Good. Now, go on with your fascinating disclosures. You were telling us that you were born at...
Yes. I stopped there. I was born at...
Wait. I've got another terrific idea. Oh, this is really stupendous. You were an orphan.
Charming.
Orphan? Me?
Oh, for pity's sake, don't keep interrupting. Yes, you were orphaned at a tender age. You were brought up in an orphanage, a Saint-Mond orphanage, shall we say. There you were tended by a wonderful nun. Mother Felicity, yes, a real saint. It was she who taught you to swim. You have so many memories of those days. You remember the long winter nights in the icy dormitories, the dreary Thursday walks, the orphans lined up like a lot of little grey mice, and surrounded by the white cloths of those sweet nuns.
Oh, it's so realistic.
I think we're on to a winner. Yes, you were an orphan.
No, I can't let you say that.
Listen, Mr. Roussel, yours has just had an absolutely sensational idea. You simply can't spoil it.
Leone will be so happy.
Why should it make Mr. Leone happy to think I was an orphan?
Because it's good for his public.
Maybe, but this time I will not be pushed into it. Hmm? I will not say I was an orphan.
Why ever not?
Imagine the faces of my father and mother when they hear I was an orphan.
Oh, you make things very difficult. Well, let's think of something else. Weren't you unhappy, at least?
I was spoiled. And I was a real scamp when I was small. When I used to play truant with my brother-in-law... Only, of course, he wasn't my brother-in-law then. We used to go down to the bottom of the...
Oh, nobody's interested in that.
Climb a tree.
You can drop that idea.
Yes, drop that. George's idea is much better. Supposing he lets his parents into the secret, tell Mr. Jones.
How can I go and announce to my parents that I am an orphan?
Mr. Roussel, wouldn't you like to be an orphan just to please me?
Well, when you ask me in that voice, I can't. No, I can't kill them off. I haven't got the heart. Mr. Flower, if I agreed to a childhood spent in poverty, would that answer your purpose?
Well, it's not so effective, you know. Possibly with all the privation, the cheerless heart. Ooh, I tell you. Did your father ever drink?
Yes.
Well, that's better.
Water.
Water. Ah, then we'll say that throughout all those hard winters, there was nothing but cold water in your hut. Icy water. You had to break the ice to get in.
I once fell on the ice.
Don't keep interrupting.
No, seriously, wait a minute. It's just reminded me. I once broke my leg. We were sliding on the ice.
Now, that's interesting, isn't it, George?
Very, very, very. Yes, but of course, we mustn't go too far. You know, Francois, what this story needs is a little detail that really rings true. I'll have to think of one.
You know, actually, we still don't know where he was born.
Yes, that's true. I was born...
Stop. You've already given us more than enough material. We can get a splendid article out of this.
But there's nothing about my life in all that.
Surely you're not trying to teach me how to tell a life story. Now, come on. We've got your evening to plan. Now, Mr. Roussel, you have been invited to the opera ball this evening.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, you're willing to go?
Oh,
yes, of course.
Francois, I'm afraid that you've misunderstood. It's not you who will be going to the ball with Mr. Roussel. You're not a celebrity yet. And the hero of the same rescue, well, he couldn't be seen escorting anyone but a top-ranking star, Marilyn Wood.
Well, then, I don't think it's a bright idea.
No.
I think it's quite ridiculous.
Yes.
And if that's the best you can do, I'm going.
Yes. You... Oh, dear. She seems annoyed.
Oh, doesn't matter about her. Mr. Roussel, thank you for agreeing to go to the office.
Yes, but I thought... I mean, I only accepted it with Françoise Martin. Without her, I can't go.
Listen, you are going to the ball with Marilyn Wood.
But what is Françoise... I mean, Miss Martin going to say?
No, you don't keep on thinking about Françoise Martin. She never thinks of anybody but herself. Certainly not about you.
I'm quite sure you're wrong. Did you notice when I gave her those flowers just now? She looked quite touched.
All right, if Miss Martin has taken your flowers with her, you don't go to the opera. If she's left them here, you go. Agreed?
Agreed.
Yes. John?
I'm not worrying. She couldn't have forgotten them.
We'll see about that.
I saw that look on her face.
Ah, Jean. Did my smart turn take those flowers with her when she left just now?
Well, she went off in a great hurry. They're still on my desk.
What? There. Now, what did I tell you?
She... What? All right, Mr. Flower. I'll go.
Now, Mr. Roussel, perhaps you'll tell me again exactly what happened.
At about 1 a.m, this man appeared. He spoke very unpleasantly to Marilyn. I asked him to be more polite. He made a menacing gesture towards me.
Oh,
I dodged
dear,
it
dear,
and
dear,
came
dear.
Back with a straight one to the chin. He fell to the ground. A knockout. And then I heard afterwards that he was a Mr. Florbicana.
It's as I said, you're an unreliable character. So you've done some boxing?
Yes, a little. We have a gym at BLDI. It's the first time I've ever managed a knockout.
How those reporters have lapped it up. Look, boxing match at the opera. Marilyn declares Auguste is wonderful.
What does she mean?
She thinks you're sensational, extraordinary, fantastic.
Oh, she's exaggerating.
Mr. Renaud Boyer denies here. He has an appointment with you.
Oh, yes. Just a moment before you show him in. Now, listen, Roussel. Wait for me in the next room.
Yes.
This is rather an important appointment.
Oh,
and here, take these papers with you.
Oh, thank you.
Very well.
Oh, that fool. Our Operation Romance was going like a bomb. The box office receipts on Marilyn's films were still soaring. And now, with one blow of his fist, he kills it all.
It's too bad.
What on earth can I say to Carson? Well, we'll have to think that one out. Oh, show that gentleman in now.
Will you come in, Mr. Dillard?
Thank you. Mr. Flower?
At your service. Please, sit down.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Flower, when I spoke to you yesterday on the telephone, I thought it better not to tell you my position. For more than 30 years, I have been director of BODI's publicity department. Rather amusing, don't you think?
Delighted to see you.
And now, Mr. Flower, for the last fortnight or so, the newspapers have been making a terrific fuss over a grade four official at our H branch in the Avenue Rap. A Mr.
Roussel?
That's it, Agrippa Roussel.
No, Auguste.
I beg your pardon?
Auguste Roussel.
To me that you were the man behind this campaign.
Yes, that's correct, yes.
Well, allow me to congratulate you, sir. Your method certainly produced results.
Hmm?
This morning's papers prove it all over again. Punching Florbicana. Really madly amusing. one of your ideas? Excellent.
Oh, you're too kind.
One of the most influential members of our board of directors, Mr. Reynolds, he's 80, you know, and still a real enfant terrible. Most amusing. He estimates that this popular acclaim of Octave Roussel...
Auguste Roussel. Oh. Here, I'll write it down for you. There.
Oh, thank you. Well, that this acclaim of Roussel constitutes first-class publicity for the BLDI, and he may well be right. He succeeded in convincing the board, and I was asked to get in touch with you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Mr. Voidelin, when I undertook this popularity campaign around Auguste Roussel, it was because I was convinced that one day your house would inevitably take some notice.
Ah.
In the 3 weeks since Auguste Roussel's dive, the BLDI has been talked about 10 times more.
Mm.
Well, 100 times more than at any time since its foundation in...
In 1852, that's true. That is precisely the reason for my call. I have come to ask whether you would consent to continue on our behalf the business of keeping people talking about Octave...
Or Auguste Roussel. Yes, naturally, sir. It's my profession. Have you a large allocation at your disposal for this operation?
Would you consider 50,000 francs per month sufficient?
My 50,000... Yes, well, you must not expect miracles, you know, but I think I can put up something pretty good for you.
Mr. Reynolds wants him to be mentioned every day.
Well, if he's got to be talked about every day, there's only one solution. Get him into the category of people who are talked about every day.
Ah.
Princes, film stars, and millionaires.
Mm.
Yes, now we can't make a prince or a film star out of him, but we could make him a millionaire.
You think you could?
Well, there's nothing simpler than being a millionaire. No one asks you to show your million.
No.
Mr. Boydelin, tomorrow, at the Sailor Charpentier's, Auguste Roussel will buy a Picasso for 400,000. Yes, and that will jump him right into the millionaire class in one go. We will explain the sudden change in Mr. Roussel's fortunes afterwards. Well, we could say that that one of the biggest shareholders in the BLDI heard on his deathbed about Auguste's deed and left him his whole fortune.
Oh, amusing.
Yes, and that brings the BLDI in again.
Mm.
From then onwards, Auguste Roussel will be seen at Deauville and Longchamp, Maxime.
Mm. What about the 400,000 franc picture?
We'll resell it at a profit to the United States, where there are plenty of real millionaires.
Ah.
Or, of course, we shall have to find another Auguste Roussel.
What if we lose on the sale?
Hmm. Well, then the difference will have to go down to petty cash.
Oh, of course. Mr. Reynolds would be thrilled with this idea, I'm sure. If only you knew him, he's too amusing for words. Mr. Flower, this seems a delightful plan to me. I really must express my admiration. Consider the matter settled.
Oh, splendid.
50,000 francs will be placed to an account in your name immediately. Goodbye, Mr. Flower.
Goodbye, sir. See you again soon. Jean.
Yes, George?
It's fantastic. From now on, we're working for high finance.
Splendid.
Wait. Look, 10 to 12. Just right. At 12, go down to the Grand Gallery canteen on the ground floor. Show Roussel's photo to any of the salesgirls who can go out and get them to crowd round the door and mob August for his signature. Okay?
Okay. I'll get down there at once.
Good. Now I can deal with my millionaire.
Hit.
Oh, there you are, August.
It's a catastrophe.
Not a bit of it. It's a triumph.
Haven't you read the papers? They've got hold of everything you told the Christian Clarion. You've made me an orphan.
Well, it was such a good idea, I just couldn't resist.
It's terrible, not a bit like my life.
It will be your legend.
My legend?
Yes. Auguste Roussel is a hero. There's always a legend about every hero, usually having little relation to the truth.
But legends are always about the dead.
Not at all. Nowadays, every celebrity possesses a legend during his or her lifetime. It is we who invent it.
You?
Yes, us. Public relations. We take the truth and reshape it into another form of truth, especially adapted to suit the tastes of the public. And since the celebrities are only too eager to fit in with their legend, our truth is more true than the other in no time at all.
I've got Sophia Marini on the line. It's about the launching of her film, The Tigress of Bengal.
Oh, yes. Well, tell her that she's to be a godmother to the lion cub that's just been born at the zoo. Christening ceremony Tuesday in the cage, in the presence of Sultan the Fourth, father of the lion cub. I found a clergyman who used to be a lion tamer. Don't forget that little detail. You know how easily Sophia is scared.
I'll tell her.
Now, my dear Roussel, Now, listen. I had better break it to you straight away that you are going to be extremely busy. Mm-hmm. I've accepted dozens of invitations for you, and from Monday onwards, you have scarcely a minute left to yourself.
Oh, it can't be done.
Hmm?
From Monday onwards, I'm no longer free. Oh. I have to go back to the bank.
You're going back to the BLDI?
Naturally, my sick leave is up.
Oh, you become the most celebrated man in France overnight, and you talk of returning to the BLDI? What on earth are you going to do there?
I'm going back to my work, damn it. And as I shall be in another department, it will take up more time at first.
You're going to install yourself behind a counter again? Like a simpleton? Like an nonentity? As if nothing had happened? Just when Marilyn thinks you're wonderful?
Sophia's asking if you're sure about your ex-lantame a clergyman. She has no objection to his being a fake clergyman, but she's rather insistent that he should be a real lion tamer.
Tell her he's a real clergyman and a real tamer. He used to be chaplain to the Bengal Lancers.
Okay.
Now, Mr. Roussel, a man like you simply cannot go back behind a counter. I'm going to make you a proposition. If you agree to leave the BLDI, I'll give you 2,000 francs a month.
Two thousand francs a month? Well, that's more than four times what I earn at the bank. 2,000? What would I have to do for the money?
It's very simple. You are a personality. All I require of you is that you remain one.
But that isn't a job.
If you only knew how much time it takes up when one wants to get people to talk about
that's one. That's exactly what I don't like.
Sophia, said, is she right in thinking that this lion cub is the son of a lion that mauled his keeper?
Yes, that's what makes it so interesting.
Oh, she said if that was the case, wouldn't it be possible to christen a sea lion or a baby penguin instead?
Oh, listen, tell her that the whole thing's off. There's nothing doing.
Oh, all right.
Here, Roussel.
What?
You were wondering how to make people talk about you.
Well,
if you'd like, the lion cub could have a godfather, not a godmother. You.
Me?
Of course, why not? You would hold him in your arms in the lion's house with all the other lions roaring in the background. Oh, think how that would come over on TV.
You're not serious.
What? It would be a colossal success.
Mr. Flower, don't you try to persuade me. I told you no and I mean no. Goodbye, Mr. Flower.
Mr. Roussel.
I prefer the bars over my counter at the bank. Oh. Albert.
August.
What on earth are you doing here?
But it's you I'm looking for.
May I introduce my brother-in-law?
How do you do, sir? I'm Albert Chevalier, garage proprietor at Soucillon Brie, the garage on the square.
What's the matter?
Holy smoke, we've all seen the papers down there. Oh. You certainly hit the headline. It's fame. Congratulations. I've come to Paris on account of a wonderful idea I've had. I'm taking you back to Soucy.
Huh?
On Thursday, you are to preside at the inauguration of our trade week. It'll make a terrific sensation. What do you think of it, Mr. Flower?
Hmm? Oh, yes, I agree with you. It will be a sensation.
He's by far the most famous product of the town. He's more famous than Stanislavski.
Stanislavski?
The footballer, you know, the Strasbourg right wing. He was born at Soucillon Brie.
Oh, oh,
he's pictures in all the cafes in Soucy, but today August has definitely outstripped him. Did you see that article this morning? It's terrific.
Of course I've seen it.
It brought tears to my eyes. It brought back so many old memories.
Really?
Oh, none of it surprises me, you know. I always thought that one could write some smashing articles on August's life. I've known him since he was a small child.
Yes, yes, yes.
I was there when his mother and father died.
Oh, but for heaven's sake.
He was still quite a mite, and he had to be sent to an orphanage.
Oh.
He went to the St. Mons. I can still see it. Those long lines of orphans, the nuns' quoi.
Oh.
I used to take him oranges.
You were really like a father to him.
Well, and a junior post with the BLDI.
Oh, but Mr. Flower knows all about that.
Well, no, to get back to Thursday. We're going to have a grand reception in your honor with the mayor, the entertainment committee, Miss Soucillon Brie, Philharmonic, everybody.
Yes, but I hope his manager will let him take the day off.
His manager? What manager?
The manager of his Branch H, Avenue Rap.
Yes.
On next Thursday, Mr. Roussel will be behind his counter.
You're joking. Isn't he, August?
Indeed he is not. I shall most certainly be at the bank next Thursday.
You're going back?
Tomorrow morning.
But, August, you can't think of doing that.
Why not?
Why not? Because when anybody's been dogged by bad luck all their life like you, and then destiny suddenly gives you the chance of revenge, it's positively wicked not to grasp it. After all, you only have a mediocre job at the bank owing to your poor health.
But, Albert, that's not true.
Not true? I know it only too well. And in any case, it's in the paper. No, August, you shan't go back to the bank on Thursday. You can't let down the three-week committee like that. It's an important occasion. You tell him, sir. Tell him he can't miss that.
My friend, he is going to miss a great deal more than the trade week at Soucy.
Now, you're a celebrity,
You come and work with me at the garage.
No.
We'll call it the Auguste Roussel Service Station. No. And we'll double our customers. We'll open the branch of the
bank. No, Albert, don't go on. I prefer the bank.
All right, then let's leave the garage out if you like. But you can't go back to the bank.
What?
It isn't worthy of you. I mean, I've had people who have their pictures in the papers, go to theatres with film stars, fight with ambassadors. Don't go back to the BLGI.
My dear Roussel, the USA Films have just asked me to put a proposition to you. Will you marry Marilyn Wood?
What? Marry Marilyn Wood? Me? You're pulling my leg.
I certainly am not. That knockout of yours has made Flor de Cana the laughing stock of Paris. He is no longer eligible to marry Marilyn. And as USA Films are absolutely determined on her marriage to launch her next film, they would be delighted if this marriage were to you.
He's quite capable of saying no.
I'm very honored by this proposition of marriage, but I really don't think I can accept it.
I would have betted on it. My lord is getting obstinate again.
If I were to marry Miss Wood, an event.
Well, we would make an important event out of it. You would marry in Cannes. We would send out hundreds of invitations. There would be a battle of flowers, fireworks display on the croisette.
That would be stupendous.
When I used to think about getting married, I imagined a quiet ceremony, followed by a jolly good meal and some white wine with a few old friends at a little pub down by the river.
A little pub down by the river. For Marilyn.
Look here. The ceremony is due to take place at the Cannes Festival. That's 5 weeks from now. Marilyn's film has its premiere at the festival. We've got to come to a decision immediately.
I'm not marrying her.
Oh, Mr. Roussel, being a celebrity carries with it responsibilities, too. This marriage is one of them.
But I don't want to be a celebrity.
It's no longer a question of whether you want to be a celebrity or not. You are, once and for all.
That's true, Mr. Roussel. You can't do anything about it. Except, you will have a fabulous life. Every night will be a gala night. Today, we've got the premiere at the Olympia. There'll be stars, authors, millionaires, mannequins, and Brigitte Bardot.
Brigitte Bardot?
Certainly, Brigitte Bardot.
Did you hear that, Auguste? Brigitte Bardot will be there.
Tomorrow, there's a gala. There'll be stars, authors, millionaires, mannequins.
And Brigitte Bardot.
In the summer, you'll go to Cannes. Everybody will be there, the stars, the authors, millionaires, mannequins.
And Brigitte Bardot.
In other words, it's always the same.
What? Well, anyway, you have a rather more amusing life than in your bank.
Oh, you mustn't get the wrong idea about the bank. It's a lively place. There's something different every day at the bank.
Every day?
Every day. On Mondays, the secretaries of commercial firms come in with contracts, checks, and deeds. They tell us all about what they did on Sunday. The film they saw at the local cinema, a day in the country. Oh, you've no idea how we enjoy Sundays on Mondays.
Don't listen to him, Mr. Fay. Listen to him.
Jews listen to... Amelie Market come in. They bring us some of their first strawberries or their first violets. We can mark the various seasons by their little presents to us, and they keep us well informed. For instance...
It doesn't take much for that, it seems. Can't you see you're boring, Mr. Flower, this rigmarole?
On the contrary, please go on.
Then every evening, you've no idea how amazingly happy one feels. Simply because it's 6 o'clock.
I understand.
Besides, there's life in the branch itself. Every 3 months, we get a new recruit. And we lay bets on whether he'll fall in love with Miss Lisette, who's in the trustee department, or fall passionately for Madame Vera, who is head of the typing pool and divorced and has peroxide hair. And then there's the special occasion, a grand ball in the banqueting rooms at the Hotel Moderne with the BLDI's hot club band and a cabaret. The company's secretary has a magnificent voice. You'd think he was Caruso. And then there's a cashier from the Batignolles branch who does card tricks. They're fantastic. Then there are the dramatic circle evenings. I'm an honorary member. I pay my subscription, help paint the scenery, and when they give a performance, I put on an armband and check tickets at the door.
Not a childish nonsense.
But above all, there's this constant sense of danger that we live under.
What danger?
The danger of a hold-up. There's always the chance of a hold-up in a bank. 6 months ago, they nearly robbed G Branch at Menilmontant. They were caught in the nick of time. We, in the Avenue Rapp, are H Branch. H is the next letter to G. It's just as though we were in the front line.
I would never have thought that life in a bank was so thrilling.
Oh, when you pop into a bank for 5 minutes, you can't grasp the intensity of life there.
So it's definite, then. You refuse to marry Marilyn Wood.
Yes, I do.
There's nothing we can do. He's determined to be a bachelor.
No.
No, not at all, Albert. You should have put Miss Françoise Martin's name forward, Mr. Plath.
Impossible. I've got an Italian producer arriving tomorrow. I'm planning to have her escorted everywhere by him.
Does she agree?
Unlike you, Françoise has some ambition. She's ready to do anything in order to arrive.
Anything?
In any case, whether you like it or not, you won't go back to the bank. I've sent off your letter of resignation.
What? You dared to do that?
Well, when? I've got that letter this morning.
But it's a forgery. I must go and tell them at once.
Oh, that's a fool. He'll go and ruin everything.
Oh. What? You want to get there on your own merits? What's got into you? Take a couple of aspirin to go to bed. Good night.
Well, Mr. Farr, what can we do about Auguste?
Oh, I really don't know. I've never come across anyone so absolutely determined to turn away good fortune.
Oh, don't talk to me about it. I'm ashamed for the family. I was seeing myself already as Marilyn Wood's brother-in-law. That would certainly have given the garage a boost. I would have christened it the Marilyn Wood Service Station.
Yes, it was a very good idea.
Oh, I copied his signature perfectly. It was a masterpiece. Perhaps they won't let him retract the letter.
Well, it's our last hope.
With a bit of luck, he may have got held up in a traffic jam. That would give us a slight reprieve.
Providing we can think of something. Oh, my mind's a blank, an absolute blank. Oh. Hello?
Who?
Mr. Boyadilla.
Oh, we're saved.
Who? Yes, sent in his resignation. Yes, I knew about that. What should you do? Why, accept it, of course. Yes, immediately. If not, our whole campaign will fall through. I can rely on you? Oh, many thanks.
Splendid.
I've been assaulted.
Why, Auguste? What happened?
I was assaulted as I left the building. Hordes of girls screaming. They kept calling out, Auguste, Auguste. Eventually, I managed to escape. It's dreadful. I can't even walk along the street in peace.
The price of fame. You see, you have a well-known face.
Well, it looks as though I should have to grow a beard.
What'll you do while it's growing?
I'll wear a false one and dark glasses. I shall have to explain to the manager of the bank why I'm wearing
a false. That won't be necessary. Your resignation has been accepted.
How do you know?
The managing director took the trouble to let me know a few moments ago.
Well, since 12 years loyal and willing service isn't enough to stop them accepting a forged resignation, Mr. Flower, I accept your offer of $2,000 a month.
That's the stuff.
Good for you, August.
So it's settled. You will marry Marilyn.
Yes.
Good. Now, smile. It goes with your new career.
I will. I'll smile all the time. I'll show them that I'm not shedding any tears over leaving the BLDI.
From now on, you will take your place in society. You will only be seen with a top name.
Quite.
You will get married at Cannes?
I'll be there.
Not you, only top names.
There will be authors, artists, celebrities.
Real ones or ones like me?
Both. And the mannequins. And Brigitte Bardot.
I'll do it.
Splendid. Hello. I want to put through an urgent call to Cannes. The town hall.
Your own brother-in-law, Auguste. Your sister's husband.
Hand me my tie, will you, Albert?
9 hours wide train, and what do you say?
My jacket, please.
Oh, but look, she's a beautiful little car. She's only done 15,000, and I give you my word, I wouldn't go and set the speedometer back, not for my brother-in-law.
I repeat, Albert, I cannot drive around here in Cannes in just any car. I'm not allowed to ask Mr. Flower.
Oh, that chap. He'd have you forget your family. Setting you up here in this posh apartment in Cannes on the Croisette. Palm trees, blue sea, blue skies. A bathroom, the lot.
Well, anyway, Albert, thank you for coming here.
They're dragging you away from your own sister and brother-in-law. We've seen you precisely twice at Soucy-en-Brie since you've become a millionaire.
It isn't that I don't want to come and see you, Albert. It's simply a lack of time.
Liar. You don't do anything.
Precisely. That takes up all my time. When you're working, you have a 40-hour week, whereas when you're doing nothing, you don't know when to stop.
Yeah, I would.
Yesterday, I went to cash a check at the BLDI branch here in Cannes. When I saw an old colleague facing me, tears came into my eyes. And he, poor chap, envied me.
Look, I'm going back on the evening train tomorrow, so we'll lunch together.
I'm not free for lunch for at least 3 weeks.
Well, what about very early tomorrow morning?
I'm due on the golf course at 8.
You play golf?
It's compulsory for millionaires.
Well, do you know how to play?
I'm learning. Look, Albert, you pick up this stick. It's called a club.
And with it, you have to hit a little ball not much bigger than a plum. You're not allowed to touch it with your hand. You send it flying off into the field. And then you go and look for it. If you don't find it, you've lost.
Listen, of all the daft things.
Then there's polo.
Polo?
It's compulsory for millionaires. You gallop around on a pony, and you steer it with your left hand while you twirl a mallet in your right hand.
Look out, you'll do yourself a mischief.
Then there's sailing. That's compulsory for millionaires. I tell you, I simply haven't got a minute to myself. Luckily, I do go to the club.
The club?
It's compulsory for millionaires. Now, there one can relax. They have the English papers. You select one. You settle yourself in a club armchair. You put the English newspaper over your face, and you go to sleep. They call it going to the club. Oh, good morning, Mr. Flower. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, Miss Jan. Good morning, Mr. Flower.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chevalier, but visiting time is up. We have a very heavy program today.
See, Albert? Goodbye.
Well, can't you give them a 24-hour pass at least?
We'll try to, but I can't promise anything.
Well, goodbye, August. Oh. You'll regret that car, I'm telling you.
Bye, Albert. I say, Jean, is this the suit you meant me to wear?
Yes, but you've forgotten the blue cornfly in your buttonhole.
I thought I'd like a white carnation.
A blue, my dear Roussel. Always a blue cornflower. Establishing the little gimmicks like that helps to silhouette you.
Shall I go now?
You must get out of this habit of always arriving early. You have to get to the cinema just 1 minute before the curtain goes up on Marilyn's film.
Will she be there?
Of course. Since you're going to pick her up at her hotel.
Good. I'm looking forward to seeing the film. It's been talked about long enough.
You are not going to see the film.
Oh.
10 minutes after it starts, you are to slip out unnoticed.
Oh.
And you will only go back 5 minutes before the end.
Why?
Because in 20 minutes' time, you've got an appointment here with Walter Dupont. He wants to photograph you for a German magazine.
Yes, I'll go and bring your sports car around to the door.
After the film, you go to the Soleil Bar for drinks and signing autographs. At 1 o'clock, leave for Lanapool. USA Films are giving their luncheon party there.
In this suit?
Yes. At 3:30, return here to change.
Which disguise do I assume then?
Blazer and white flannels, your yachting outfit.
I'm a very poor sailor, you know.
You're only going to fire the starting shots for a gaffer. After that...
I come back to change. Miss Francoise Martin! Oh, come in. Oh, do come in. What a surprise. What a lovely surprise. You in Cannes.
Well, I only got here yesterday. The festival committee invited me.
Oh, I'm so glad. Jan, would you, leave us?
You're going to be late.
Well, it'll make it all the more chic.
Oh.
Please, go. Go. Well, it's very sweet of you to come and see me, Miss Martin.
I hesitated, you know. I wondered if you'd still remember the little darling.
As if I could ever forget you. It was you who never gave any sign of life.
I knew what you were doing from the papers. You have become an important person.
Oh, not particularly.
How can you say that? You're in society. Did you know your autograph is worth 4 Marlon Brando's as a swap? A Gallup poll proved it.
I know. But let's talk about you. Because, you see, the August Roussel that you're talking about, the important person, that's not me. Oh, it's true he's got my face, but under this well-cut suit... Behind this facade, the other one is still tucked away.
The other one?
The one you knew. The rather silly bank clerk.
Oh, not silly, Mr. Roussel. Charming. Brave.
Well, anyway, he's the one who still thinks constantly of you.
But the other one is going to marry Marilyn Wood.
Oh, Gus, this isn't funny. I told you not to be early, but this is overdoing it. Oh, hello, Francois. It's you. How are you? I'm afraid that I'll have to take him away now. Come on, we must go.
Well, I could take Miss Martin with me.
What are you thinking of? That would cause a scandal.
Well, I'll see you again. I'm coming back in 10 minutes. Wait for me.
I will.
Promise you will, or I won't go.
Oh, it's a promise.
All right, bye.
Go on, Roussel. Francoise, my child, I'm delighted to see you again. Will you dine with me this evening?
I'm not free.
A date with the film producer?
No, my grandmother lives in Cannes.
You know, you're not taking the best way to get to the top. I'm going to take you in hand again seriously. What about dinner tomorrow? Hello? Oh, is he on his way up? No. You've done quite right. Yes, I'll go and meet him. Yes. Francois, my child.
I'm expecting a visitor to Scram.
Sorry, but it's quite unexpected. We'll meet again sometime.
Well, perhaps. Bye for now.
Come in, Mr. Boyd.
Well, thank you so much.
How very nice to see you. Do sit down.
I'm disturbing you, Mr. Flower.
No, not a bit.
Oh, but I am. I saw her. I compliment you. She's delightful. She's a friend?
She's a client.
A client? A friend, see, I'm a client for the client. That's my little joke. But still, if she's a client, you must have her address.
Are you on holiday?
No, on business. Mr. Flower, I have come to tell you that the gentlemen of our board have come to the conclusion that you are not producing a sufficient effect, and they are therefore terminating your contract.
Oh, no.
I might add that for about 3 weeks, Mr. Reynard was perfectly happy. He used to bring all the papers to the office. He used to show them to everybody. It was comical. And suddenly, there's nothing. Nothing. The past fortnight, he's been scanning every line of print and can't find a thing.
Yes. Well, now, allow me to give you my reason, Mr. Boydell. Mm-hmm. Nobody has been talking about Auguste Roussel for the past fortnight simply because I've done my damnedest to prevent them talking about him.
Oh.
So that the bomb I'm preparing for tomorrow will be all the more impressive when it does burst.
So, this bomb, you say, is timed for tomorrow?
Yes. Oh, everything is ready. I only have to light the fuse.
That sounds intriguing. And may one ask what you plan to do?
No. Its effect depends on utter secrecy.
And according to you, this would have been a fantastic bomb.
Absolutely fantastic. Still, you can't be helped. My bomb just won't go off. But with only 24 hours to go, it is a pity.
Oh, we can't do this to Mr. Reynal. If the world starts talking about Roussel again, it would be making so happy. Mr. Farr, set off your bomb for my sake. It would be so very amusing. I'm thinking of Mr. Reynal's joy.
Well, I might think of regarding your visitors null and void.
I came and you were out. And as by tomorrow everybody will be talking about Auguste Roussel, my board would not expect me to terminate your contract. You can guess with what impatience I shall await tomorrow's paper. Good day to you.
And a very good day to you. Jean.
What is it now?
Oh, Jean, we have exactly 3 minutes in which to find the bombshell that will set all the papers talking of Auguste Roussel tomorrow. Oh, it's a matter of life and death.
Yes.
Here he is. And Francois, too. Come in and sit down.
Thank you, Mr. Farr.
Thank you.
Well, how did you go at the festival cinema?
When I got there, the film had started.
I knew you'd be late. And Marilyn?
She'd given up waiting for me.
Hmm?
She went in alone. It seems that people noticed.
Excellent. My dear Roussel, I have an important piece of news for you.
Huh?
Your engagement to Marilyn is broken off.
Oh, all right. Between you and me, she's rather touchy. I was only a few minutes late.
It isn't that. Jean, what do you think of that as an idea?
Not bad.
Only not bad.
No, it's one of your ideas. Marilyn doesn't know anything about it yet.
No.
Is it any good to her?
Oh, on the day her film is shown, it's terrific.
All right. Really, I prefer it that way.
You will not return to the festival cinema to see the end of the film. Naturally, when the lights go up again, your absence will be noticed and commented upon. First thing this afternoon, we shall announce the reason, the breakup. Then, we'll trust Roussel was absent. He was flirting with a starlet, and everything's broken up. There, that would make a splash. And in addition, it's the truth, or more or less. It's odd, you know, but the truth does have possibilities sometimes.
Just a minute. This time I'm not playing.
Why ever not?
I don't want to get Francoise mixed up in these affairs.
But it's her greatest ambition. Francoise, you couldn't wish for a better launching now, could you?
Well,
Don't you start turning up your nose at it, too.
No, of course not, but...
There are at the moment at least 20 starlets in Cannes who would simply jump at the chance. But I prefer it to be you. Yes, if you'd make a nice revenge.
Of course, it would certainly give me a tremendous advantage.
There, Roussel. You already prevented her hitting the headlines once. You can't refuse her this chance.
Miss Martin, if you think this will help you, I agree. But I'm only accepting because of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Happily, Mr. Walter, you saw the photographer. I'll let him in.
You'll keep him talking for a second.
All right, I will.
I've got a better idea. The photographer came to take just a picture of you. Instead, we're going to offer him a sensational documentary. Auguste Roussel kissing his new fiancée, Francoise.
No.
Oh, but you're refusing to kiss her. When tomorrow a photo will be on every front page in the world.
Exactly. I don't want to compromise her.
But she'll be delighted. She'll be launched. Isn't that so, Francois?
Oh, it certainly would be terrific for me.
It's settled, then. I'll go and catch Walter Dupont.
Is it true that you'd be delighted to kiss me?
Well, of course, Mr. Roussel.
Come in, Mr. Dupont.
Thank you very much.
We've reserved this terrific world scoop especially for you.
I see.
The first kiss between a newly engaged couple.
Really?
In one shot, this photograph will announce the break with Marilyn and the forthcoming marriage to Francois.
I see.
You must admit that we're giving you a favorite nation treatment.
I can't thank you enough. Now, let's see. Where shall we take this picture?
What about the soap?
sofa. That'll look good.
Yes, that's it. On the sofa.
Yes.
And now, Mr. Roussel, will you sit here?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Francois, you sit next to him.
Like this?
That's fine. Oh, wait a minute. I'd like to have some flowers in the picture. Mr. Flower, you hold them there for me at arm's length.
Like this?
Look, careful. I've got to get the flowers in, but not your hand.
Oh, I see.
Keep as far away as you can. Then I want you to direct this floodlight on the curtain for me with your other hand.
Here?
Further away.
Oh, here?
Higher? No, a bit higher. Look, stand on that stool. That's it. Now, Mr. Roussel, you embrace your fiancé exactly as though we weren't here.
Well,
put your arm around me.
What?
She is very good. But you, Mr. Roussel, you're rather tense.
Oh, relax, August. Nobody's going to believe that you do it like that when you're alone.
Now, start again. Come on.
Don't look so solemn. Anyone would think you were kissing an archbishop.
Mr. Rousseau, this picture ought to give a really intimate impression.
And make it a bit more intimate.
Come on, again.
Right.
Yes, that's better. Now, careful. This time I'm going to take it. Now, kiss her like that again.
Just a minute. Exactly as if we went here.
Oh, look out. Hold the flowers up, Mr. Flower. Up. Now, Mr. Rousseau. Oh, no. Much too sad.
Look here. Don't you enjoy kissing her?
I should hope so.
Of course I enjoy kissing her, but
then make it look a little more obvious.
I understand you're being worried.
Yes?
We're really asking you for a bit of play acting, and everybody isn't a born actor.
Well.
We'll try once more.
Make an effort, old goose, for my sake, darling.
All right. Now, ready?
Just
go on.
Now,
that's a little better.
Try and look a little more, please. Oh, rather more tenderness in your movements.
We'll start again.
Well,
go on.
It's very difficult.
Now, that's better.
I was sure it would be the next one of his first.
Now again.
All right, just like that, right? Ready?
Now, this time it's really not at all bad. Again?
Yes, right.
You were right. It was
I told you so.
No, don't move.
Are we starting again?
Oh, yes, that was just a tender kiss. Now, I'd like a passionate one.
Passionate?
Look, clasp Francois tightly to you.
Passionately, like this.
No, old chap, tighter.
Like this? As tight as you possibly can.
Press her back a bit over your arm. Like this. Now, that's right. Hold it. Now, that was very good.
Are we starting again?
You're dead right, we are. Now, close your eyes slightly.
Put a bit of voluptuousness into it.
I've closed my eyes, you see, like that.
Splendid. Yes. Is that voluptuous enough?
What I told you it is all right. Now, hold it.
Yes. Do we do it again?
Again?
Yes. Right.
Now, that's really good.
I enjoyed that.
Wait. Do we start again? I've only got one exposure left. Now, I'd like something really hot.
They have to go wrong. Don't wait for getting warmed up.
Mrs. Francoise, shall we try it again?
Mr. Roussel's apartment. Oh, it's you, George. The telegram? I should think they have arrived as a colossal pile from celebrities. The ones we sent ourselves, the fakes. Oh, they must be amongst them, but I haven't opened them all yet. You'll be round in 3 minutes. Right.
Listen, then. Oh, the crowd, the flowers, the procession, the gorgeous clothes, the cars. Oh, these telegrams.
Just look at these two, for example.
Oh, I say. Moscow and Washington. Who'd have thought they'd have sent them? Ah, good morning, Mr. Flower.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Boydelaine. They told me you were here.
My boy, I'm here incognito. I was only waiting to see you before I leave. I just had to have a word with you. Only one little word. Bravo. There's simply nothing to add. Bravo. It's phenomenal, fantastic, triumphant. Bravo.
Oh, thank you.
Well, goodbye. I mustn't let anyone see me. I'm here incognito.
That's that. You certainly gave him good measure. And what impressed him most of all was your series of fake telegrams from you-know-who. What have you done with the newlyweds?
I left them in the hall, hemmed in by their admirers signing autographs. I'd better go and rescue them.
Oh, here they are.
Oh, what a marvelous day, George. I don't know how to thank you.
It's like a fairy tale.
Well, I am a manufacturer of fairy tales.
Thanks to me, for the past 3 weeks, you have been known as the little French girl who pinched Marilyn's fiancé. Have you seen the mob in the garden?
No, but I'd like to.
There must be at least 3,000. It's crazy.
At 7:30, the mob photographers are coming. They want a picture for their cover.
They are going to make the cover after all, Francois.
What luck! August, it's the most wonderful day of my life.
On account of this picture or of our wedding?
On account of everything. It's all like a dream.
If you two don't appear out there on the balcony immediately, they'll wreck the place.
Yes, you'd better go and wave to them just this last time.
Come on, August.
Hold on, coming. I'm coming, guys.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you.
Just listen to that, George. And we thought with our marriage stunt would work for this. Everybody's fallen for this one.
Thanks to August, he played his part as a lover admirably. Well, we'd better get down to business now. Have you looked over our budget?
I've done the accounts and brought the book with me.
Our subsidy from the Coast Azure Development Syndicate, $3 million. Short Technicolor film rights, $1 million. That's $4 million. What about the honeymoon transport?
Well, I've clinched that with Terrestrial Airways. $1 million subsidy.
$1 million. And the honeymoon itself?
Sicily is offering $1 million and the Balearics $800,000. We could collect from each of them and make them both happy.
That brings us up to $7 million.
Sean, this wedding is a milestone for us. The public are interested in August himself because he's a celebrity.
That's true. In fact, you've invented a new industry.
Exploitation of a celebrity. Famous people like film stars and so on, they're not always available. But in August Roussel, I have created a professional celebrity always at your service. We only have to hire him out.
And today proves there's no lack of clients.
Oh, and I'm not stopping now. Up to a few days ago, I only had one celebrity at my disposal, August. Now I've got two, August and Francois. I'm going to run them all through the summer. They will do the Waldorf Ball, Ascot, the Season of Venice, Miami, and Monte Carlo. Once that's over, I'll give them a resounding divorce.
Oh?
Then, by marrying each one of them off again, I get four celebrities. And there's no reason why I should stop at that. Within a few months, we could build up quite a stable.
Providing you always manage to pick an August or a Francois.
Goodbye. Oh, and it weren't the disappointment with the photographers, Francois would spend the whole evening on the balcony.
I would indeed.
Hiya, Francois. The makeup girl is waiting for you.
Come on, then. See you later, darling.
All right, darling. Don't be long, will you?
Do you mind about this cover picture being only a Francois?
No, not a bit.
Well, that's just as well. You know, that would be the devil to pay if that happened in some marriage.
Well, it isn't quite the same for us. We're in love.
What did you say?
Ours is a love match.
August, you don't have to pretend now. There aren't any journalists here, you know.
That's why I'm speaking openly.
You mean to say your love for Francois is genuine, sincere, profound?
Yes.
What? Haven't you any professional integrity?
What?
Are you a monster of ingratitude and cynicism?
I don't follow.
You haven't understood a thing. I thought it was too good to be true. Well, Mr. Roussel, you have no right.
No right to love Francois?
No. It was I who invented it. If it weren't for me, you would never have thought of it.
Pardon me, I did think
of it. Oh, you thought of it. You don't suppose that after all this struggle to launch Francois, I'm going to see it go for nothing just because you love her? Oh, no. Anyway, I don't have to worry. Maybe you do love Francois. But she does not love you.
Then why did she marry me?
So that people would talk about her, of course.
She doesn't want
don't
to
forget
talk
that
about her.
She even agreed to throw herself into the Seine in the middle of the winter. Her marriage with you is by far the most rewarding of all her efforts to hit the headlines.
I don't believe you. She married me because she loved me, just as I do her. You're wasting your time, Mr. Flower.
Oh, it's extraordinary. Fantastic. Incredible.
What's the matter? Excuse me. I'm just going to join my wife.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And to think it happened today. Such a beautiful day.
Mr. Boyer-Denham, please tell me what has happened.
Mr. Jean-Baptiste Renal, the biggest shareholder in our concern. He was quite a character, of course. So likable. Would always have his little joke during our board meetings. An immense fortune. Naturally, one put up with his eccentricities. It makes me laugh to think of them.
What has happened to this library, Mr. Renal?
He's dead.
Dead?
Dead, quite dead. Look at the picture of Elvis, a jolly chap, so amusing, dead.
Oh, I see. And so we can no longer draw on the BLDI. Well, don't worry on our account, Mr. Boyer-Delaire.
From now on, the campaign can look after itself. Operation August Roussel continues.
Yes, but that's not the point. You see, Mr. Flower, Mr. Raynor was inordinately proud of Operation Roussel. He used to boast, "This is the best flag I've ever pulled off." And he used to say, "After all, this chap August Roussel is practically my own child." And do you know what he's done on his deathbed? He's left him his entire fortune.
To August Roussel?
Naturally.
I knew I was right. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Flower, Françoise has just told me that she would have married me even if I'd been completely unknown.
Oh, that's easy to say.
And after
now.
My millions, she knows perfectly well that it's all hot air, so you see.
No, Mr. Roussel, it is not all hot air. Mr. Flower.
What?
Tell him who I am.
This is Mr. Boyer-Delin, director of BLDI Publicity Department.
BLDI? Oh, really? It's a great honor to meet you, sir.
It is I who am honored, Mr. Roussel. The board of directors have instructed me to convey to you their best wishes.
How nice of them.
Mr. Roussel, from now on, you are our principal shareholder.
Yes. I beg your pardon?
You are his heir.
Who's heir?
Mr. Reynolds.
I don't know him.
That is of no consequence. The will is indisputable.
And what does it amount to, this bequest of Mr. Reynolds?
Have you any idea what 200 million represents?
200 million? Hmm. No, I haven't, have you?
Yes, I have. You see, I'm used to it at the VLDI. 200 million, that makes one, two, and...
Yes, well, all that matters is that it amounts to a considerable fortune.
Eight notes in a row.
It is at your disposal.
Eight notes.
What?
Oh,
August. He's collapsed. Help me.
Mr. Roussel. Oh, he's only fainted. He'll come round in a minute if you leave him alone.
Oh, is that all you think of the health of your principal shareholder? August, look at me. Speak to me.
What's happened? Is August ill?
He didn't feel well. Imagine, he's just heard that he's inherited 200 million.
Just heard, indeed. He's known all along they were fake millions invented by you.
Oh, we're not talking about those millions. This lot, they're real.
Real million?
Nothing could be more real, madame.
Now, are there many of them?
200 million.
I don't believe it. Darling, yes. Wake up. Yes.
He's coming round. There, drink this brandy.
Thank you.
Feeling better now?
Darling, it's wonderful news, darling. Yes. His fortune, where's it come from?
It's Mr. Reynolds.
Excuse me, it was my idea.
Mr. Roussel, what are you going to do with all these thoughts?
Well, he doesn't know yet.
Oh, yes, I do know. I'm going to buy myself a private life.
A private life?
Yes. No more responsibilities. No more sporting club. No more Balearics. No more golf. No more polo. No more yachting. In short, a life of freedom.
Oh, I hope, Françoise, that you are not going to let me do this.
If that's how August wants it, I shall accept happily.
Thank you, darling.
Oh, so it's true then. You do love him.
Didn't you know?
You love him?
You seem to have some difficulty in grasping the idea.
I've been betrayed by my own ingenuity. I imagine a fake inheritance and it materializes. I stage a fake love affair and it turns out to be real. Yet my job consists of inventing stories. If they're going to come true, what's going to happen to me?
Yes, I'm most upset, Mr. Flower. Mr. Roussel, once more may I express my respectful compliments. In you, Mr. Reynolds has found a worthy successor.
In fact, August, you're a total loss to me.
Put yourself in my place. Mr. Flower, I feel like building a bank just for me at Soucy-en-Brie. And I shall look after the current accounts counter.
Well, that takes some beating for a millionaire's whim. The journalists will love it. You'd get columns in the press.
But that's exactly what I want to avoid. From now on, I don't want to be noticed.
You're too much of a celebrity for that.
My poor Georges, sit down.
Eh?
Sit down. From now on, you will be my public relations officer.
Marvelous idea, Olga.
You've squandered treasures of ingenuity in order to make me a celebrity. Now you are going to make me a non-entity again.
Demolish my prize workflow? Oh, that's impossible.
Oh, but it is possible. Look, George, it's only a question of budget.
Now, if you're going to talk like
that... I'll allocate you $50,000 a month.
$50,000? Oh, my dear Mr. Roussel. Well, of course, you mustn't expect miracles on $50,000 a month. But you could do quite a lot. Yes, you'll be satisfied.
Yes, I'm sure I shall. But remember, I'm the boss. You'd better soften up public opinion to prepare for my disappearance from the world of celebrities.
That's not going to be easy. I can't guarantee success unless you promise to carry out my instructions to the letter.
We promise.
Yes, we'll have to use a certain amount of cunning.
Hmm?
I mean, astuteness. To start with,
you must carry on as if nothing had happened. Mm-hmm. Go and dine at the sporting club, and then tomorrow you leave by air for the Balearics.
But is that compulsory?
Oh, yes, of course.
Once you've stepped into the limelight, you've got to go on with the act.
Oh, all right, I agree. Well, to soften up public opinion, you can tell the story of my life.
Hmm?
Well, you see, I had a very unhappy childhood.
Oh, really?
I was orphaned very young.
Uh-huh.
I remember the rows of orphans, the coifs of the dear nuns at the St. Mount Orphanage. There was one really wonderful nun, an absolute saint. Oh. Mother Felicity. It was she who taught me to swim.
Really, really?
Yes. She'd been breaststroke champion before she took the veil.
Mm.
Oh, and by the way, here's a detail I never told you. I was born...
Yes, 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 yes. You can tell us all about it at the sporting club.
In Auguste, the comedy by Raymond Castaing, English version by Joan Sutro, adapted for radio by Cynthia Pugh, the name part was played by Jimmy Thompson. François Martin was played by Fenella Fielding, and Norton Wayne was Georges Flower, with Barbara Schotter as Jeanne, his secretary. Monsieur Broyer-Delin was played by Rolf Lefevre, Albert, the brother-in-law, by Julian Summers, and Walter, the photographer, by Kenneth Dyke. The recorded production was by H.B. Fortine.